Would y'all agree that was a beautiful song?
Yes.
There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, you're my living hope. I hope by the end of this service that will be true for all the people in here today, that Jesus Christ is your salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we jump in. I'm a little nervous right now, a little sweaty and everything, so I need God to calm my spirit a little bit. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in the pulpit, God, while Jason and the others are serving on the mission field in Calgary, God. And I pray that salvation will happen for those people, that they will be coming in contact with, God, as they have conversations with, that they get to kick around a soccer ball with, God, that Jesus, your name will be shared there. God, and I pray for the same right here in Cartlidge Creek, that today that you will speak through me, God. I'm by no means the best speaker. I am in the South, so some of my words blur together, God. But God, I pray that you will give me your spirit right now to speak through me and to speak the truth of your word to these people today. God, and I pray that we can be refreshed by the songs that we just sang and the word that you're about to speak through me, God, and that you will give us hope because Jesus Christ is in our life today. In your son's name I pray, amen. If you have your Bible with you, if you can, turn to Titus chapter 2, and we'll be looking through 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 15 today. If you've gone to Revelation, you've gone too far. So just FYI. And what about this? Once you find Titus chapter 2, if you do have scripture with you, or if you're using a cell phone, if you can, hold it up for me. That'll let me know that you have found it. All right, I see a few. If you have found it, if you have scrolled through it and found it, hold your cell phone up, and not Snapchat or Instagram, but the Bible. If you have the Holy Word, the hard copy, if you can, hold that up for me and let me know you found it, because I hear some pages flipping. All right, I see some more holding it up. All right, so before we begin reading the scripture, let me ask you, what is a billboard? I know this is a random question. If you get to know me as a person, I'm a pretty random person, right, Gabby? I'm a pretty random person. So I am a youth pastor, after all. I'm pretty random because I deal with random teenagers. So what is, if there's a few teenagers, amen. So what is a billboard? What is the purpose? Let me ask you, what is the purpose of a billboard? As you were... Information, right? It is a marketing technique. Would you agree with that? As you are driving to Moore County and you are going up Highway 1, you probably see some billboards about restaurants, maybe some dental stuff, some businesses and everything. If you're driving to Highway 95, I think, 95, and you see like Cracker Barrels like 5 miles away, and it's like, man, I'm hungry. I might need to stop in 5 miles. Or you start looking for a McDonald's or a fast food restaurant. So billboards let you know where things are, right? Let you know they're advertisement. And because I have glasses, I can often see a billboard quite nicely, and I can see the advertisement because I got these lovely glasses. So I want us to think about that for a second. What is the purpose of a billboard? Because today in the scripture, there's a few words that I want you to see the advertisement about, if that makes sense. That these words in the passage that we're about to read about, there should be some words that should jump out at you as advertisement, you could say. Yeah, proclaim. As you were, and I would say this, as you were living life, as you were going through life, it's like Jesus puts these billboards up in your life to help get your attention, to say, hey, you might need to stop here to be refreshed and read some scripture. Right here, you might need to pray with me for a little bit and get my attention. And today, as we're diving into the scripture, I call these billboard words, that these are the words that should jump out at you, and you should be able to see them quite nicely, all right? So as we dig in, it says, verse 11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. In verse 15, it says, these then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. So right here for the next little bit, we're going to break down this passage and see what God can show us, how we can grow in our faith, how we can take away and not just sit here for the next 20, 30 minutes and not get anything at all. So the first thing I would say on this billboard, so again, back to the billboard, the first word that jumps out for me is the word grace, right? The word grace. If you missed that, let me read it again. At verse 11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. So what is the word grace? Because that's where it starts out, because I think that is the word that is hinges on the rest of the passage. The word grace, it is unmerited favor. It's a gift that we do not deserve and we cannot work for. And I want to remind us of that. That there is nothing that we can do to work to earn God's favor and grace. A lot of us are like checklist kind of people, that we got to do this, we got to do this, and we got to be reminded that we can get in the motion of doing the checklist and realize that there's nothing we can do to earn God's favor. And we just got to take a step back. We got to take a step back and realize that God loved us enough that he was willing to give us Jesus Christ when we didn't deserve it. John 1:14 kind of paints a better picture for me as I do. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is grace, guys. If you did not know that, I want you to know that today, that Jesus Christ is grace. We did not deserve him today for him dying for us because we were sinners. So let me offer you this, because it says in that verse, it says, for grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. First thing I want to do, and normally it's at the very end, I want to offer you salvation to start out with. Salvation, that grace appeared through Jesus Christ. And let me rewind. Let me start back in Genesis and just walk through this real quick. God created everything, and it was perfect. He created man and woman, Adam and Eve, and they lived a perfect life in harmony with God. And then there was a serpent one day, and the serpent put something in their ear, and it caused them to disobey God. And that disrupted the unity and the harmony with Jesus, with God. And sin entered the world. And one of the books I'm reading right now for seminary, it says, the author says, sin nowadays is something we grin and joke about, and we often don't take serious. But sin is something, or is any act, any thought, any desire, any emotion, any word or deed or particular absence that displeases God and deserves blame. So when man and woman decide to disobey God, this entered into the world. Sin entered into the world. And that's where grace came into play. Sin had to be covered by a man who was born of a virgin, not created by man, but God put him there. He lived a perfect and holy life, something I can never fathom, because every single day I fall short. I mess up. But this man named Jesus was able to come into the world today. He was able to come into the world and live a perfect and holy life, so that his goal and his mission was to redeem us, to save us from our sin, to give us a new life, to show us grace. I think about this, a gift Like at Christmas time, think about a gift. He has given out the grace of the gift of grace to us, and it was nothing that we deserved as he handed it and hands it out to us. But he gives it out to us anyway because he loves us. And by accepting him as our Lord and Savior, we can be saved. But before that, guys, I don't know if you know this, but in the Old Testament, people over and over again had to have sacrifices by going to a priest and having animal sacrifices, because those sacrifices is the way that God told them to get rid of their sin. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ came and bled and died, and he was our once and for all sacrifice. That we don't have to do that anymore, but once and for all, he was willing to lay down his life for us. And that was it. And I'm also thankful for, guys, that his goal, his mission was to die and show this grace towards people who have fallen short, who have wrestled with addictions, who don't have the best family or home life, who have wrestled with sickness and cancer and diseases, who may be an orphan or in a foster home, and that Jesus Christ was willing to show this grace to people that have wrestled with some really tough stuff. Amen? And that he was willing to show that grace to people. Because we look at the world today, guys, that there are many people walking in this world today who are joking and laughing about sin and not taking it serious. They have not accepted this grace of Jesus Christ into their life, and because of that, they are living messed up lives. Lives where there are skeletons in their closet, where they don't want anybody else to know, but the praise God, he can set them free from this. Would you say today that you have been set free from the closet, the skeletons that are in your closet, and the addictions that you've had, and the issues and the sins that seem to hold you down, that I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to do that for me, and I hope that y'all can praise him that he's willing to do that for you as well. And he was willing to give us his grace. Church, I got to ask if y'all are awake today and know that is God your grace? Have you been saved? Because I wouldn't be up here telling you this if I didn't love you enough, if I didn't care for you enough to say, hey, I don't want you to be going to a place called hell where sin is running rampant in your life. I want you to be set free from that. I want you to experience this grace and this living hope that we just sang about that can set you free so you can praise him and say, hallelujah, Christ, you have redeemed me. You have made me new. Church, I have to ask, do you know this grace of salvation? And if you do, what do you do about it? If you believe in this salvation, what do you do about it? Because according to this scripture, this grace is for all people. Did y'all catch that? Another billboard statement on there? Look back at verse 11 at the end of that. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. That is not just people right here in Richmond County. Let me remind you of that. It's not just people that are looks like the rest of us, that are white, that are from North Carolina, that are in the South. According to this scripture, it's for all people. Boston, Calgary, China, Africa, any place around the world today. We are all, let me remind you, we are all on level ground before the cross as sinners. Y'all hear me? At the cross, if you are a human being, if you have sinned, we're on level ground at the cross in needing of this grace of salvation. Church, I have to remind you today that if you have this salvation in your life, that there are many people from all backgrounds of life, whether they're a Republican or Democrat, whether they look like you, Chinese, African, whatever, people need salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's our job as Christians to share the greatest name of all, Christ. So if He has truly changed your life, what are you doing about it? Because I have to be reminded, oftentimes I'm a very selfish and self-centered person. And like a lot of people I know in this church, we are very busy people. Amen? We are very busy people. Ball games to birthday parties to school stuff. I know I have papers to write. I think Lauren was telling me she has a paper to write as well. Some of y'all that are in the medical field, I mean, just hard hours for those who have their own businesses, having to work out in this heat. I mean, it is exhausting when it's like you were going from 6 o'clock into the morning till at nighttime, where it seems like as soon as you lay your head down on the pillow, you are out and you're sleeping because you're so exhausted. And I have to be reminded that despite how busy we are, despite how selfish I am or how prideful I am, there are people all around me who need this grace. And if I'm not looking and if I'm not praying, then I will miss opportunities to share Jesus Christ with these people. And it's for all people, not just people that like hunting and fishing like me, who are easy to talk with, but it's for all people. And that's hard. Amen? Is that hard? Is that hard to do, to talk to people that don't necessarily think like you or have a different background or a different culture that they grew up in? Maybe they're from up north and talk a little funny. You know, it's a little hard to talk, you know. But to try to have a conversation, because again, I need to be reminded on a day-to-day basis that we're all on level ground before the cross. If y'all don't get anything else today, that would be the thing, is to understand that we are all at the foot of the cross together as sinners in needing of a Savior. And if anything, please take that away and to realize that Jesus Christ was willing to love you enough to die for you. And that is why you should desire to come to church and worship with other people. It's because you have a Savior that you're willing to sing about, that you're willing to hear about. Let's keep going. Verse 12. What about this? Kind of wake up, everybody. Someone read verse 12 for me. Someone stand up and read verse 12 for me today. Someone willing to do that for me? Someone do that for me. If not, I'm just going to stand up here and look funny. I don't mind doing that either, so please, there you go, Hunter. Thank you, sir.
Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and ungodly in the present age.
Awesome. Thank you, Hunter. No to ungodliness, yes to self-controlled, upright, godly lives. And I think Hunter's translation had a little bit of different. This is something hard to do. I just want to be honest today, because the culture seems like it is very fun to live in the ungodliness of the world. And what Satan tries to whisper in your ear to do, these things often sound fun, sound like happiness. When you are prideful, when you can look at whoever, whenever, and have certain thoughts about certain people, good or bad, when you can desire to have as much money you want in the world, and in a sense, the way I look at it is you have become your own God. You have become your own God because you want to rule your life instead of God ruling your life. And let me ask you today, are you saying, have you gotten these reversed? Are you saying yes to ungodliness and worldliness? Because these are the things that are supposedly giving you joy in life. Have you gotten these mixed up? And if you are a Christian today who has said yes to the grace of salvation, let me remind you that this ungodliness and this wickedness and this worldly passions, they might seem fun now, but they will take you down a dark and lonely and painful path. And I have to tell you today, church, if you are a Christian who is living an ungodly lifestyle, then I would pray today that you can do business with God at the altar at the very end and get right with God, because he does not desire you to do that. When I read this passage, it's almost like if I get caught up in worldly passions and lust or whatever it may be, these different things, then it seems like I am abusing God's grace. I am taking advantage of what Jesus Christ has come to do for me on the cross. And it's like I'm putting him to the side and saying, hey, I'd rather live in sin over here than worship the Savior that was willing to die for me over here. And I want to say today, if you are getting caught up in ungodliness and worldly passions, I pray today that God will set you free from those chains, that he will set you free and help give you a life that is all about godliness and purpose and joy, and that is with a relationship with him. Church, I got to remind you that we as a church are supposed to be setting an example to this world, not to be hypocrites, but to be genuine Christians who say, yes, I'm willing to read scripture and pray and get to know my Savior better. So that way I can take his word out there into the world and give them an example of what it means to live a godly life. Because there's plenty of darkness out there in the world, and what it needs is some light. It needs some love. It needs a little God, a Christian out there in the world making a difference for Jesus' name. Today, church, I have to ask, have we gotten these mixed up? Have we become stagnant in our relationship with Christ, where we are saying yes to ungodliness and worldly passions and saying no to ungodly, or saying no to godly lives? Because I want to say this, Jason, as the pastor, and me as a youth pastor and over the kids, we only have so many hours we can do to minister to y'all as the congregation. But it's on the parents in the homes discipling the kids. Because if we only get 2 or 3 hours with your kids or with y'all as adults, and then you're spending the rest of the time with your family, and Jesus sitting in the house, I don't know the what could enter in, and you could say, I don't know how Satan's going to try to attack you if you are not bringing Jesus into your home. If he's not important into your house, then I would say today might be a day where you say, I want Jesus Christ to be in my home so I, as a parent, can be setting a godly example, a godly life before my children today. Maybe the question should be is, I have a bunch of people that I work with today who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and I pray today that, God, that you will use me as a godly person in my workplace to share Jesus with people, and that becomes your mission field. Again, church, have we mixed these answers up, and are we abusing the grace of God? There's other scripture that Paul clarifies that we are not to abuse God's grace and take advantage of it. And that's not the purpose of grace. Church, I challenge you today that if we realize that salvation is for all people, and that there are people walking around today that do not know Christ, then I beg you and I plead for you to start living, there goes that country accent, living, I beg you and plead for you to start living a godly life so you can be an example into people's lives so that they have the possibility and they have the hope of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that one day that they can say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and say yes to Jesus Christ. I hope as a church that we can take this serious. Verse 13. Someone read verse 13 for me, besides Hunter. Hunter, you did a great job, by the way. Someone read verse 13 for me. Stand up for me and read verse 13. Go ahead, Mike.
Look your part, and blessed hope is the glorious appearing
Awesome. And someone want to read verse 14. Thank you, Mike, for reading that. Go ahead, Mike. Read verse 14 for me. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike. So I would say two or three words that are on this billboard. Let's go back to that real quick. One would be grace. I would say the other one would be salvation for all people. And this next one would be redeem that Mike read. Redeem us, I think you said inequity, right? Mike, is that your translation? Mine says wickedness, inequity, sins. And I want us to pause here for a moment and understand what is this word of redemption, of being redeemed means. The best way I know how to put it is that Jesus is in a boat, right? Let's just take it like this. Jesus is in a boat. We decided to get out of the boat with Jesus and swim in the water where there's sharks and there's a number of possibilities that could happen to us. Next thing you know, a storm comes by, maybe waves, and it seems like we're drowning in life. Sin is drowning us, holding us down. And next thing you know, Jesus throws out that life raft. He throws out that life jacket for us and pulls us in. He gets us back in that boat, and guess what? We have a new chance to live. We have life again. He gets us out of the water that will drown us. Today might be a day where it seems like we cannot keep our head above the waters because sin is holding us down. The pressures of life are holding us down, and it seems like we cannot breathe to catch our next breath. It seems like we have no hope, and that we're suffering, and we're in pain, and it seems like we're just willing to sink and give up. But I want to remind you today, we have a Savior that was willing to throw out that life jacket for us and bring us in the boat, dry us off, to make sure we're all right, and loves us and carries us to safety. That is our Savior today, guys. That He was willing to redeem us, to give us a new chance to in life. He's willing to make us a new creation before Him. And that is why He is willing to give His life for us today. And then it says that Mike read, redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people eager to do what is good. We can't just sit on our hands, Christians. We can't just be going through the motions of our faith. But Jesus Christ created us. He redeemed us so we can go out into the world today and to do what is good for His name. So if you looked at your life this past week, what good have you done for the name of God? The greatest name of all, the one who has redeemed you, who has given you grace, who is willing to love you when you have skeletons hiding in your closet, who have fight addictions, who you've done something to your spouse. Despite all these things, what good has Jesus done for you or you've done for Him to set you free so that you can share the greatest name of all? Christian, are you having a desire to share His name with other people? If He has given you a new chance, a new life, who has redeemed you, let me remind you, from the pit of hell, where there is suffering, Scripture calls it gnashing and weeping of teeth, where there is pain and agony, He has redeemed you from that to give you a new life so you get to spend eternity with God forever. Because you have said yes to grace. Yes to Jesus Christ. Have you been redeemed by the blood of Christ? By Him dying for you and resurrecting for you and overcoming the grave today, Christian? Unbeliever, have you said yes to redemption? The last verse One other verse I want to cover real quick, and we'll come back to verse 13 that Mike read. It says, these things are something you should teach. You should teach and encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. So today, one of the just regular or just the best application possible is that we should be teaching the grace of God. Maybe the question for us today is, where is it that we can teach the grace of salvation, the redemption of salvation, and the love of Christ, the purification of Christ? Where is it that we can teach this? I would say number one basic is start in your family. Start with your kids, your spouse, your aunts, uncles, mom or dad. Start in your house where you can teach the grace of Christ. Second, I would say maybe your workplace where you spend a lot of time. What I tell the teenagers is that they can be missionaries on their campus. Let me remind you, kids are surrounded by hundreds of other teenagers and kids on a day-to-day basis. Let's just say if they have 5 or 6 classes a day, 4 or 5 classes, and there's 20 to 30 kids in a class, how many opportunities does a kid or a teenager or a college student have the opportunity to share Jesus with someone right there on a campus? We have opportunities, guys. And it's just a matter of whether or not we want to teach it. And Mike, like you read, and this is where we're ending a moment. In verse 13, it says, while we wait for the blessed hope in the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, if you have read Revelation, there is a great second coming that is happening where our Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to rule over all. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the great I Am, is going to be the one who rules over all. This is our Savior, church. The one that is sovereign, that is true to His promises. The one that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and that I will wrap you up in my arms of love. Like, this is our Savior today, and that He is going to come back again. So as we teach, as we take salvation to all people, we get to wait for the second coming of our Savior, because He is going to be the one who rules over all. Not Satan, not sin, not our worldly passions, not ungodliness, but church, it is going to be Jesus Christ. And I pray today that because He is going to rule over all, that it will impact your life in a mighty way. And that when you walk out of these doors, it's nothing that I have said, but it's all that Jesus Christ is willing to do for you. And that is when you walk out of these doors today, something new will be about you. Something new will come in your life. That when you walk out of these doors today, you have to share Jesus Christ. Not because someone told you to, but if anything, it's because Jesus Christ told you to, because He loved you, guys. He loved you enough to redeem you and save you. Lauren, if you want to. Church, the challenge for us today, as she's about to play the piano, first question for us today is, have you been saved by the blood of Christ? Have you been redeemed by the grace of God? Because let me remind you, He has redeemed you from the pits of hell and has given you a new chance. He is wanting you to take that life vest and say yes to grace. So church, if you can, stand up for me. And as she plays, the altar is open. And I'm begging you and pleading you that if you're a Christian that is saying yes to ungodliness and worldly passions, that you will come to the altar today and get right and do business with God. And if you haven't been saved by this grace, I pray today will be the day. Dear God, I just thank you today. I pray for someone's life to be changed today by your grace. I pray that we can walk out of these doors today and start realizing that there are people walking all around us that do not know you as Lord and Savior, God. And I pray today that you will help us to see them as people who are heading in the wrong direction, who need to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would challenge us to get in your word, to start praying to you and talking to you. God, I pray for Cartlidge Creek today that we will be a church that will be seeing you as our living hope. In your son's name I pray, amen.